Amen. If you get one thing right in 2021, get worship right. Because if you get worship right, you'll get the other stuff right. You know, it's interesting because we're embarking on a series here, a four-week series, What God Can Do Through Ordinary You, and you can work without worshiping. That's actually possible. But you cannot worship without working, without giving back to God something of service to Him. So I want to encourage you, if you get one thing right in 2021, make sure that you're getting worship right. I want to let you know, too, we have some big stuff coming your way all during the next month. So for the next 4 weeks, I think I told you kind of towards the end, or actually it was in the beginning of December, one of the things we talked about, I said I wanted to make sure that you were following along closely because we were going to have some big things that were coming up. This coming Sunday, so not today, but next week, you will be given a ballot. That ballot's going to be blank. It's going to have two slots on it, okay? And you need to put in two names in that slot. We are trying to find another person to serve on the finance team. It's a quick term, okay? So if you get selected, you will serve all the way up to October, okay? And then you'll be done. But it is to fill out a term, and so we need your help in that. In your bulletin this week, you're going to find the list of the people who are already serving. You don't get to pick them next week, okay? You have to pick somebody who is not already currently serving, but we need to get a couple of names from you for finance team folks. And don't forget today at 3 o'clock, as Pastor Matt mentioned, we will be meeting today in here to discuss the financial side of what God is doing in regard to this building project. You've seen a lot of the pictures, you've gotten a lot of information. Last week we had a big discussion about the nuts and bolts of it, and we look forward to this discussion today as well, and what God's going to do through that. Don't forget too, tonight we start back our Sunday evening stuff. So Awana starts back tonight, adult Bible study starts back tonight. We're continuing our series about peacemaking, and I want to encourage you to join us for that as well. But I want you to also know about this new series. For the next 4 weeks, for 4 weeks, let me put it like that. It's going to be interrupted by 1 week. But for 4 weeks, we are going to be looking at what God can do through you. We need your help. And when I say we, I mean Five Forks Baptist Church, but I mean as well the God of the universe wants you to serve Him. You have an amazing opportunity as you enter 2021. One of the things we talked about in one of the videos that Kara and I put out back during COVID, when everybody was locked in their houses and that sort of thing, and we were slowing the spread. Y'all remember those good times, don't you? Yeah. Back when that was happening, you know, it's interesting. One of the things that I said then when we were talking, the cartographers back in the ancient days, the people who made maps, when they would make a map and they got out to a certain point in the ocean that hadn't been explored, they would draw very intricate pictures of these dragons, and they would say, "Beyond here be dragons," because they didn't know what was around the corner. They didn't know what was moving past that area that they had explored. So instead of, and I don't know if this is human nature or not, but instead of looking at it with tremendous opportunity, they looked at it with tremendous fear. And they said, "Beyond here be dragons." Now, what we now know, 1492, Columbus sails the ocean blue, and we find out that over here are not dragons. Over here are majestic mountains. Over here are verdant fields. Over here are beautiful beaches. There's just all this amazing stuff that we didn't know anything about. 2021 can be exactly the same thing. There can be amazing opportunities for you and I to reach and to take hold of all that God has for us in 2021. And I want to encourage you to do that, beginning with what we're talking about today. God's plan for your life is to take ordinary people with ordinary talents, do extraordinary things through those people, and give the glory to Himself. Do not ever insult God by saying that He can't use you. Don't ever sit back and say, oh, God could never use me. That's an insult to Him, because He can use anybody. Jesus paid the price so that you and I could have a life of eternal purpose for His glory. He gave each and every one of us a gift. If you know Jesus as your Savior, congratulations, you're gifted. He gave you a gift of His Spirit in order to be a functioning member of His body, the church. The Bible teaches us that every single follower of Jesus has at least one spiritual gift that translates into a function within the church. So it will translate into serving within this assembly. That gift is for the common good of the church, not a special attribute or a personality or even a talent, although oftentimes talents and personality work together within spiritual giftedness. And that gift is a manifestation of God's Spirit in your life and in my life that supernaturally empowers us to serve as a member in the body of Christ. When we come to the end of life, the question is not going to be, how much have you gotten? What have you amassed? The question is going to be, how much have you given? Look with me at some verses this morning. Ephesians chapter 2 is where we will be. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to look at, we're going to look at verses 1 through 10 of this chapter. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Here's what the Bible says. It says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously walked according to this worldly age, according to the ruler of the atmospheric domain, the spirit now working in the disobedient." Stop for just a minute. If you have ever wondered, why is this world the way it is? If you have ever looked at this world and said, it looks like this thing is coming off the rails. Here you have an explanation for that. The ruler of the atmospheric domain, the worldly age, the Bible talks about. That's talking about Satan. Satan is very real and is very powerful and is at work today on planet Earth. Verse 3, "We too all previously lived among them in the fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts, and by nature we were children under wrath, as the others were also. But God, who is abundant in mercy, because of His great love that He had for us, made us alive with the Messiah, even though we were dead in trespasses. By grace you are saved. He also raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might display the immeasurable riches of His grace in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus." And then the verses Pastor Kevin read earlier, "For by grace you are saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves." This entire operation of salvation is not from yourselves, Paul says. It's God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. "For we are His creation." That word creation right there is a Greek word, poema. It's where we get our word poem. You are the poetic expression of God. We are His creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. Now that God's spoken to us through reading His Word, let's speak with Him in prayer. Father, today I am talking to a group of people who have an amazing array of choices for service in Your church. You have given to us such an incredible opportunity in 2021 to be able to, as we talked about last week, stand between the dead and the living in this community and to say, we know somebody who can save anybody. Lord, I pray You would help us with our service, with our sharing, to make 2021 a banner year for Your message in the Five Forks area. In Jesus' name, amen. You were put on earth to make a contribution. You were not created just to consume resources, to eat, to breathe, to take up space. God designed you to make a difference in life. Now, you can go to any bookstore, even Christian bookstores, and you can find all sorts of best-selling books offering advice on how to get the most out of your life. But that is not the reason God made you. You were created to add to life on earth, not just to take away from it. God wants you to give something back. It is called your service, or it is called your ministry. And the Bible gives us the details on it. In your bulletin, you have some blanks that you can fill in as we follow along. If you're following along digitally, you already have those filled in for you. First thing I want you to see is you were created to serve God. You were created. It says, for we are His creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Those good works right there that are talked about, those are your service. Whenever you serve other people in any way, you are actually serving God and fulfilling one of the purposes for which He brought you into this earth. In the first few weeks of this series, we are going to see how God carefully shaped and crafted you for that particular purpose and how He has gifted you to help. What God told Jeremiah is also true for you. He said, before I made you in your mother's womb, I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart for a special work. You were placed on this planet for a special assignment. You were created to serve God. Have you ever heard the expression? Somebody says, when somebody does something or other, they were born to do that. We use that expression sometimes when we're talking about people. When we see them doing something and we say, wow, that's something amazing. You were born to serve God. It's one of the reasons you were created. But you weren't just born to serve God. Secondly, you were converted to serve God. So you were created to serve God and you are born again to serve God as well. You're created and you're converted to serve God. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. It says, God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which He has given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. God saved us, and then it says, called us with a holy calling. He redeemed you so you could do His purpose. You are not saved by service. That verse makes it very clear. He saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, it says. You are not saved by service. But make no mistake, you are saved for service. In God's kingdom, you have a place, you have a purpose, you have a role, you have a function that He's given to you to fulfill. That gives your life great significance. That gives your life great value. Do you understand that as a member, if you are a member of Five Forks Baptist Church, and by the way, if you're not a member of Five Forks Baptist Church, let me just take a rabbit trail here and say foundationally, that's what needs to happen in your life. Foundationally, you need to say, yes, this is going to be my place of ministry involvement. I'm going to join this assembly. So I want to encourage you. We're going to have an invitation here in just a little while. And if you know Jesus, but you are not a member of Five Forks Baptist Church, foundationally, that's what needs to happen. Membership is that gateway to ministry in your life. So make sure that you've joined Five Forks Baptist Church. But it gives your life significance and value. If you are a member of Five Forks Baptist Church, what you do here in service is something nobody else can do. You say, wow, that's impressive. Or maybe you say, well, I'm not doing anything. What does that mean? Well, that means it's not happening. That means what's taking place, or what could be taking place, is not taking place. But you say, well, I feel like, you know, I mean, somebody else can do the things I do. Absolutely. But they can't do them the way you do them. And they can't do them with the significance that you bring to them, because you are operating out of God's giftedness in that area. It cost Jesus his life to purchase your salvation. The Bible says you are bought with a price. And then it goes on to say, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We don't serve God out of guilt or fear or even duty, but out of this overwhelming gratitude for what he has done in our lives. Salvation gives us a past that is forgiven, a present that has meaning, and a future that is so secured when God talks about it, he talks about it in the past tense. In light of those incredible benefits, Paul says, because of God's great mercy, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service. The Apostle John actually looks at this particular point. You were converted to serve God. He looks at it from the opposite angle, 180 degree opposite, looking the other direction. And he says that loving service to other people is a proof that you are genuinely born again. He says, this is how we know we have passed from death into life. If we love one another, if I have no love for other people, if I have no desire to serve other people, if I'm only concerned about my needs, then I should question whether or not Jesus Christ is actually a reality in my life. A saved heart is a heart that wants to serve. Now, another term that kind of gets misunderstood in all of this is ministry. When we talk about the ministry, and by the way, I do this too, so it's not like, you know, it's not like when I make statements like this, I'm looking down on somebody who uses this, because I've done the same thing too, and do it periodically still today. But when we use the term ministry, sometimes we get in our heads the professional ministry. So we get in our heads pastors, missionaries, people like that. And so when we talk about the ministry, we use the phrase being called into the ministry for professional, what you would say, clergy or professional pastors. But ultimately, the word ministry is just another word for service. The word servant, the word minister are synonyms. Service and ministry are synonyms. If you are a Christian, you are a minister. And when you are serving, you're ministering. There's an interesting passage in the Gospels. Peter's mother-in-law is sick, and Jesus goes to Peter's house, and he heals Peter's mother-in-law. And when he does, it says she instantly stood up and began to minister to Jesus. Okay, that doesn't mean she was preaching to him. That means she got up and she started serving how she could, using the gift of health she had been given. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to help others. You were healed to help others. You are blessed to be a blessing. You are saved to serve, not just to sit around and to wait for heaven. Do you know why God doesn't just instantly take you to heaven the moment you trust Jesus as Savior? Why does he leave us in a fallen world? This is hard. He does that because we are here to fulfill his purpose. Once you're saved, God intends to use you for his goals. God has a ministry for you. You were created to serve God. You were converted to serve God. Third thing, I want to make sure you know you are called to serve God. You are called. Growing up, you might have thought being called was for missionaries, was for pastors, other full-time church workers. That's another phrase when we talk about being called into ministry that we start thinking about. But the Bible says every Christian is called to service, regardless of your career, regardless of what you do every day, day in and day out. You are in full-time Christian service. A non-serving Christian is a contradiction in terms. 2 Timothy 1:9 again. It says God saved us and called us with a holy calling. Peter says, we talked about this verse last week, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you might proclaim the excellencies of the one who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Anytime you are using your God-given abilities to help somebody else, you are fulfilling your calling. In the next few weeks, you are going to have opportunity to, we use the phrase sign on the dotted line, you're going to have opportunity to sign up and to say, yes, I want to be a part of the ministry that God is doing at Five Forks Baptist Church. I want to get involved in how that's happening. And I want to encourage everybody in this room who knows Jesus as their Savior, I want to encourage you to get involved in some way in the ministry of Five Forks Baptist Church. The Bible says, now you belong to him in order that you might be useful in the service of God. How much of the time are you being useful in the service of God? In some churches in China, they welcome new believers and they say this, Jesus now has a new pair of eyes to see with, new ears to listen with, new hands to help with, and a new heart to love others with. One reason why you need to be connected to a local assembly, to a church like Five Forks, is to fulfill your calling to serve other believers in practical ways. That's why God doesn't want Lone Ranger Christians that are just kind of out there on their own. God's wanting you to be a part of a larger body. You say, well, you know, what do I get from that? Well, you do get some very practical things. You get communion, you get fellowship, you get friendship, you get a sense of community, you get an outlet for service. But remember, the question at the end of your life is not, what have I gotten? It's, what have I given? What can I give? Your service is desperately needed in the body of Christ. Everybody has a role to play. Everybody's role is important. There is no small service to God. Everything matters. There are no insignificant ministries in the church. Now, some ministries are very visible. If I decide one Sunday morning, I just don't want to exercise my gift, at around, for the people in this service, at around 9:25, everybody's going to know it. Because Pastor Kevin's going to transition out, and they're going to go be seated, and this is going to be empty up here. So, if, and then Tim Johnson's going to come up. If I decide, hey, you know what, I'm just not doing it this Sunday, then pretty soon everybody's going to know it. But maybe you serve in one of those ministries where if you don't do it, it's not as visible. And so you say, well, maybe that's not important. Y'all, small or hidden ministries sometimes make the biggest difference. In my house, let me tell you a little bit about me. This is where I live. I never thought this would happen in my life. I have a diabetic dog. Did you know that dogs can be diabetic? I did not know this. Certainly didn't know it when we got her. But found out that our dog is diabetic. Okay? So, our dog, because of that, has to get up in the middle of the night frequently and go outside to take care of business, if you understand. Yeah, y'all never thought you'd hear this in a sermon, did you? But here it is. Yeah. Okay, so we have a nightlight that is in the hallway of all of our bedroom areas right there. Okay? That nightlight is what helps us when it's time for that dog to get up so we don't break our neck falling down the stairs in the middle of the night. The most important light in our house is not that really nice looking light over our sink, or it's not that really nice looking light over our dining room table. The most important light in our house is that little $2 night light in the hallway that keeps us from breaking our neck when we get up in the middle of the night. Sometimes the most important ministries are not the most visible ministries. Do not confuse visibility with significance. You are called to serve God, and every ministry matters because we are all dependent on each other to function. What happens when one part of your body fails to function? You get sick. The rest of your body suffers. Imagine if your liver just decided to start living for itself. I'm tired, you know, I don't want to be part of the body anymore. I want a year off just to be fed. I want a little liver time. I want to do what's best for me. Let some other part of the body take over. What would happen? In around 72 hours, your body would die. Today, there are thousands of local churches all across America that are dying because of Christians who are unwilling to serve. They sit on the sidelines as spectators, and the body suffers. You are created to serve God. You were converted to serve God. You are called to serve God. But fourth, finally, you are commanded to serve God. Commanded. Jesus was unmistakable. Mark chapter 10, he says, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be a slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. For Christians, service is not something that can be tackled if you look at your day timer and you've got enough time left over. It's not enough if you examine your calendar for the next month and say, I think I can squeeze something in here or something in there. It is the heart of the Christian life. Jesus came, if you read those verses, Mark chapter 10, to serve and to give. And those two verbs ought to define your life on this planet too, to serve and to give. Serving and giving sum up one of God's important purposes in your life. Jesus taught that spiritual maturity, learning about the Word of God, is never an end in itself. Now, some of you, and I'm one of those people too, so I know where you're coming from. Some of you love Bible study, and you love to get deep into the Word of God. I praise God for that, and I'm thankful for that. And I hope we have a whole church full of folks who in 2021 are ready to go deeper with God in Bible study. But make sure you understand, going deeper with God in Bible study is never for your enjoyment. It is for your employment. It is for God to take what you have learned and to put it into practice, not just in your life, but in the lives of other people. Study without service leads to spiritual stagnation. If you are a student of Bible geography, you are aware of where the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea is. The Sea of Galilee is constantly fed and constantly has an outlet through the Jordan River. And then the Jordan River goes down to the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea has no outlet. And because of that, it is what the name suggests. Dead. With no outflow, that lake has stagnated. The last thing some people need is another Bible study. Now be careful that you understand what I'm telling you. There are some people who already know far more than what they are putting into practice. What they need are serving experiences where they can exercise the spiritual muscles that they've been gaining through that study. Serving is the opposite of our natural inclination. Our natural inclination is, you know what? I want to find something that meets my needs. I want to find an opportunity for me to get what I need. I need a church that meets my needs and blesses me. Instead, we need to say, I'm looking for a place to serve and to be a blessing. We expect people to serve us, not vice versa. But as you mature in Jesus, the focus of your life increasingly comes from who can serve me to who can I serve? How can I help? Do you ever ask that question? At the end of your life on earth, you are going to stand before the God of the universe. Abraham called him the judge of all the earth. And he's going to evaluate how well you served other people with your life. The Bible says, believers included, unbelievers, it's a whole different story. But believers, it says, so that each one of us, talking to believers, will give an account of himself to God. Think about the implication of that. One day, God is going to compare the time, energy, and effort that you spent on you with the time, energy, and effort that you spend in serving others. And at that point, every self-centered excuse is going to sound really hollow. I was too busy. I had my own goals. I was preoccupied with working or having fun or getting ready for retirement. God's going to say, I created you. I converted you. I commanded you and I called you to live a life of service. What part of that did you not understand? We're only fully alive when we are serving other people. Jesus said, he who would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same will save it. That truth is so important. Jesus repeated it 5 different times in the gospels. If you aren't serving, you are just existing, because life is actually meant for ministry. Listen, you are going to give your life for something. Everybody does. You watch people on ESPN, they have given their life for whatever sport that is that they are pursuing. You're going to give your life for something. Sports, a hobby, a career, a financial pursuit, fame. None of those are going to have lasting significance. Service is the pathway to real significance. You say, how do you know that? There was a song that I learned when I was a little child. Jesus loves me, this I know. There's a great little line right after that. For the Bible tells me so. You say, how do you know that? For the Bible tells me so. Bible says this, each of us finds meaning and function as a part of his body. That's in Romans chapter 12. As you serve together in God's family, your life takes on an eternal importance. God wants to use you. It does not matter how long you live, it matters how you live. God wants to use you in his service if you stop making excuses and say, God, I'm ready. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. This morning we have begun a 4-week look at what God can do through ordinary you. But today maybe you look and you say, you know what? I feel like there's something missing in my life because I've never trusted Jesus as my Savior. I've never followed Christ like you're talking about. Well, foundational to that, before you give Jesus your service, you need to give Jesus your life. Today, in this place, those of you who are here, you have the ability to come and to say, yes, I want to trust Jesus. Those of you who are watching via video, you have the ability to pray a very simple prayer. Whether you are in your living room, your car, your cubicle at work, your bedroom, wherever you are, you have the ability to call out to God, no matter where you are, and simply say, Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know my sin has separated me from you. I know you died on the cross for my sin and proved you were God on the third day by coming back to life. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and save my soul. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to encourage you to reach out to me. Tim@fiveforks.org is where you will type in an email and just say, Pastor Tim, I trusted Jesus, and we would love to follow up with you and share with you some news about your new eternal relationship with God. Those of you in this room, I'm going to ask you to stand. If you don't know Jesus, or maybe you prayed that prayer and you just want to come and say, Pastor Tim, I prayed that prayer. We'd love to celebrate with you. So I'm going to ask you, we're going to sing in just a moment. I'm going to ask you to make your way into one of these four aisles, come down to the front and say, Pastor Tim, either I need Jesus or I just prayed to receive Jesus. Or maybe there's another need in your life. Maybe you need to make Five Forks Baptist Church your place of ministry involvement by joining this church. Today is an amazing day for you to do that. Maybe you need to be baptized. God's been working in your heart. You say, I need to take that first step of obedience as a new believer. Maybe God's calling you into vocational Christian ministry, and you just need to come and say, I feel like God's calling me vocationally into ministry, and we would love to pray for you and pray with you during that process. Maybe there's a need I haven't even touched on, but God, the Holy Spirit, is at work in your life. You say, you know what? I need to be about his service. I want to encourage you to come. Whatever that need is in your life, as we sing, I want to encourage you to just let him lead you however he will. Let's sing.